Good morning. I'm not worthy or even capable of saying a hesped on Rav Matzis Yoh Zetzal. I had a connection with him. I went to his shmuzin. I went to his house a number of times, but I don't claim to know him as a person or even his history. What I can do, or I can try to do, is just to share the impact he had upon me and the impact that I witnessed that he had upon others. And by sharing that, I hope that we can understand what it means that a person like that, we had him a few days ago, and now we don't have him anymore, and why that makes a difference to you. Matsyo was hired to become the Mashgiach of Lakewood Yeshiva, BMG, in 1998. That sounds like prehistoric times, but it was, I was just finishing Bismedrish at that point in Riverdale. I was going to Eretz Yisrael to learn, and my older brothers, about 4 years older than me, they were in BMG at the time. They were in Lakewood. And you should understand that Lakewood, if you've been there today, so it's exponentially larger than it was 26 years ago. So 26 years is long enough for everybody to grow up and have children, and it became, I don't know, five times as big during that span of time. So Lakewood was big, but it wasn't that big then. And before Rav Matzio came to Lakewood, so Musar was learned, or I should say not learned, the way it is in many places. It wasn't so exciting. There was a Musar Seder, and whoever stayed, then most people didn't stay, or if you stayed for a minute or two and you left. Very few people attended Shmuzin at all, and certainly nobody volunteered to be part of a Musar Vad. And I remember when I was in yeshiva, not in Lakewood, when I was in my own yeshiva, so Musar Seder was after Shachris, before breakfast. And it's never a good idea to compete with breakfast. So, you learned, you fell asleep, some people left. And I remember Purim time, so the same way you have like Sfarim here with color tape to let you know what it is. So the Musar Sfarim had green tape. So on Purim, they took out all the Musar Sfarim, they put in cereal boxes with green tape. So that was the way Musar was kind of, that's the way it felt. But when Rav Matzio came to Lakewood, it was like a tidal wave hit the yeshiva. He filled up the Bes Medrash. At that point, it was Beis Eliyahu. When I got there later, it was the dining room. So that was 600 people. When I got there later on, I came back to Lakewood, 800 people, standing room only, when he gave a shmooze. And he gave a shmooze the hardest time of the day for a younger man, 7:45. So it's like the worst time. And people came. I myself came. I was at Tircha. I wasn't learning in the Beis Medrash Yeshiva where he gave. I was learning somewhere else. You had to go. You had to find parking, which was almost impossible. But it was worthwhile because his shmuzin altered you. They changed you. You didn't stay the same. And I can like point to things that they changed about me. I'll give a few examples soon. It made such a change in Lakewood that the people who were there at the time, they started referring it to it as AM and BM, before Matzis Yoh and after Matzis Yoh. That's how extensive the change was that he made to the yeshiva and to learning Musar. Before he came, they said he was going to come, and they put out a notification on the bulletin board that anybody who wants can sign up for a vad. And he'll be giving private vadim, like just with 10, 15 people in his house, he'll learn with them. About 15 or 20 of them filled up like overnight. And it was just out of control. So he came, he had 20, besides all his responsibilities in yeshiva, he had another 20 vadim to give every week, which he actually tried to do. It lasted a little bit of time, and then it just became impossible. So he consolidated them, and he cut it down to about four or five. And even those Vadim, one of my cousins went to one of them, was telling me about it. Again, I wasn't in BMG at the time. And what he did was, he just addressed these basic questions that everybody should really be asking themselves and never did. Like, he started one, this Vad was a tefillah Vad. He said, why does tefillah work? If Hashem decided something, how can you change his mind? You can't change Hashem's mind. He made a decision. Obviously, it's the best thing for you. It's the best thing for the world. It's what's meant to happen. How can you daven and change that? So someone said, well, when you daven, you change yourself. If you change yourself, so then that's why then Hashem, the decree changes. So he said, great. So how do you daven for someone else then? It's one thing you can change yourself, but davening for someone else, how does that help? That didn't change him. And it's just, these are just basic questions. And he gave, it's he opened people's minds to just start thinking about these things and looking at them differently. Besides the difference he made in just learning Mussar and wanting, being interested in Mussar, and he was what you would refer to as a lamdan in Mussar, meaning there's many different styles of Mussar shmuzes. I, in my yeshiva, Riverdale, which is a Tel's styled yeshiva, there's Shirei Das. So the Mussar was largely revolved around Maral, Rabbi Ruchim, and they were, it was a different style. It was very deep concepts, a lot of them over the heads of the Bachrim sometimes, with the Kavanah that, you know, you'll hear it, you'll listen to it, and then eventually, when you get older, you'll understand it properly, and it'll elevate you. That was one style. There are other places where the Mussar is like, you know, kind of beating you over the head with the Mussar, right? So it's this is Gaiva, this is Anava, this is what it means to be stingy, this is what it means to be a Balkas, and you know, just put it in your face what bad midas are and what good midas are. His style, which is something I connected to very much, was he took Mussar as a sugya, and he took topics. And he started from the very beginning of it, and then he learned through it. He took it apart like he was learning a sugya and bab metzia with a ktsais and with a rajba, and it became alive. And it just opened your eyes to the fact that every tiny piece of Torah, every part of midas, of Mussar, is olam hamalai, is a whole world. And it, more importantly, most importantly, the way he gave it over, which was a brilliant way of delivery and with mashalim and with stories, and he just had a brilliant way to give over the points, it opened your own eyes to your own potential, which he then demanded of us. And it caused change. I remember, just as an example, he spent a whole Elul and Aseret Yemei Tshuva on the topic of Malchus Shemayim. Now, Malchus Shemayim, again, seems like a simple topic. Malchus Shemayim, the whole world was created for the sake of giving kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's actually, you could look, it's in his Sfarim on Amayadim. It's been printed. It's a series of 10 simanim, all building up level after level, what understanding the concept and the depth of what it means to daven for Malchus Shemayim, to daven that the Mashiach should come, to daven that Hashem should reign over the world. What does it mean? How do we relate to it? And the final shir, which was before Yom Kippur during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, he closed it with one point which changed the way I end my Yom Kippur davening. We finish Yom Kippur davening by saying Hashem Hu Elokim. Hashem is Elokim, He's the God. And we yell it 7 times with a lot of energy and a lot of cheshik and a lot of slahavas. It's the end of Yom Kippur davening, it's the peak of Yom Kippur davening. And he said, you don't really understand what you're saying. And he was quoting Reb Chaim Volozhiner. He says that the word Hashem Hu Elokim, sometimes we say Elokim and sometimes we say Elohim. When do we say Elohim? When it's not referring to Hashem. Elohim Acherim. Other gods, other powers. He says, this Elohim is not Kodesh. We're saying Hashem, who Elohim. He is the one who is really behind every force and every power in the world. That's what you're saying. That's Hashem is God. What you're saying is, each time you say seven, you say it seven times, you're saying, Hashem, who, Elohim, I think I have power. No, Hashem, who, Elohim. Hashem is that power. I think that person has power. I think this government is powerful. Hashem, who, Elohim. And it just changed the way I said those words forever. And it made me think that there's a question that Mefarshim talk about why it is on Yom Kippur, the whole Yom Kippur, we don't say Aleinu once. We say it at night after Maariv, but then throughout the whole davening in Yom Kippur, we never say Aleinu. We finish Shachris, we don't say Aleinu. We finish Musaf, we don't say Aleinu. We finish Mincha, we don't say Aleinu. And we finish Ne'ilah, we don't say Aleinu. The first time you say Aleinu is Maariv after Yom Kippur. How could you not say Aleinu the whole Yom Kippur? And they give halachic answers, but what occurred to me is that this is Aleinu. What is Aleinu about? Hu Elokeinu Ein Oid. That's the whole point of Aleinu, to say Hashem. There is nothing else. Ein Oid. That's the purpose of saying Aleinu. And that's what you're saying, Hashem Hu Elohim. Hashem is the only power that there is in the world. This is an example. He would have, on a personal level, he would have Matzim Kippur, a gathering in his house, and it was in his house, right? So every room was full, like, you know, the hallways and the kitchen and the back. You couldn't, there was no room to move anywhere. And he would sing a certain song of Adonai Olam that he learned in from Rav Elapian's brother. And it was just, it brought the Matzim Kippur to just a whole new level, a whole new degree of elevation. And I remember then also he would speak, and it was the same year that he was talking about Malchus Shemaim. And he said also another thing, which I changed the way I say a tefillah. He was talking about Mizmor L'Sayda, that we say every day in between Hodu and Yichvayit. So Mizmor L'Sayda, we say V'loy Anachnu. If you look at that word in its source, it says, it's a Kriya Niksiv. One is V'loy Anachnu with an Aleph, we are nothing, and V'loy Anachnu, we are His. Mm-hmm. And he explained, the Kriya Niksiv, what it means is that those two things are bound together. You can only truly claim V'loy Anachnu, we are your servants, Hashem, we belong to you, Hashem, if you recognize V'loy Anachnu, we are nothing. Whatever iota that you think Hashem is not Elohim, and it's you that have some is your own power, then you're not really truthfully saying, V'loy Anachnu, we're your servants. You're serving yourself. So the V'loy Anachnu, the Aleph, could be V'loy Anachnu. Then he said an interesting thing. He said there's only 2 days a year, besides Shabbos and Yom Tovim, there are only 2 weekdays a year that you don't say Mizmor L'Sayda. One is Erev Pesach, and the other is Erev Yom Kippur. Now there's a halachic reason for it, but he said perhaps the significance is that those are the 2 days of year, a year that you've worked enough on yourself that perhaps you don't need to say it to experience that. Erev Yom Kippur, you've gone through El and Aseres Yom Tshuva to get to a point where perhaps you've reached the level of V'loy Anachnu, recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truly Hu Elokim. And Erev Pesach, if we do it properly, if we would only do it properly and we do the Bir Chametz, and what it signifies to remove our Yetzirah, also we will get to that point. Besides that, Rav Matisyo was the address for everything in Lakewood. Any tragedy, any issue. It was hard to imagine how he lived through his day having to deal with all that. Every single thing that happened, if there was anybody who lost someone tragically, if there was a family, if there was people, if there was a group, he was there, and he was the address, and you knew you could go to him. And we knew, okay, you know, Rav Matisyo, we'll take care of it. And he didn't leave anybody behind, and he had the power to do it. Like, there was an issue for years that the high school girls in Lakewood, many times certain girls just didn't get into high school. So there was the beginning of the year, and there was 10 girls or 15 girls out of thousands that didn't get into a high school, and they were like kind of stuck. And he said, there's no high school in Lakewood that's going to open before these girls find themselves a high school, before it has to be worked out. And he made that happen, and he had the power to do that and demonstrated the kind of achrayus that he took, the responsibility he took for everybody. What I just want to say is that when Rav Matisyo was around, you think that everybody understood what it was and what it meant and what the zchus was to have and to hear Rav Matisyo, but that's not the way it works. And that's what's so important to remember yourselves. I remember I wasn't in Lakewood yet. I was going to Lakewood after El, and I was for El, I was in Yeshiva in Brooklyn. And Rav Matisyo came to Brooklyn to speak. It was during Aseret Yemei Teshuva. So I went to hear him, and he was speaking, and someone else was speaking. And he spoke, and again, what he said then, I'm not going to share it now, but what he said then also changed the way I understood parts of davening and Yom Nirayim, the way I approached Yom Nirayim. And I met someone I knew there who had come from Lakewood. And I asked him, oh, so nice, you came in to hear of Matisyo. He says, no, I didn't come to hear of Matisyo. He's in Lakewood. I could hear him anytime I want. I came to hear this other speaker. And that's the nature of things. The nature is that when you have someone around, you don't you stop appreciating. It's Chazal call it a Navi B'ira. You can't have a Navi in his own city. People don't appreciate him. They think they're used to him. They don't think it's a big deal. And that is something that's unfortunately a reality. And when you have the ability to learn from someone that is, you've been put into his sphere, you've been put into his Dalet Amos, you're close enough that you could go to listen to him, it's important to take those opportunities because they will change you. And the only opportunity that Hashem is giving you to gain from someone else, to grow from someone else. And if you let it slip through your fingers, it will be something, it'll be a method of growth that you won't be able to get otherwise. The last thing I want to say, and also just a fascinating insight into what it really means to be great. Rav Matisyo, one of the final things he did before he came sick, and he was sick for a very long time, was he spearheaded the whole movement to combat technology. The tag did not exist yet. Technology, the whole concept of trying to limit and trying to make filters and find ways to work to protect ourselves from what technology can expose us to. And he made an event. It was in Citi Field. It was a baseball stadium, and he filled it up. 20,000 people. And he brought 10, 15 gedolim to talk about the concept. And that was what made an awareness to the fact, and it caused that TAG should get founded, and now there are TAGs in, I don't know, 20 cities all over the place. It made an upheaval, it made a revolution to a problem that was affecting Klal Yisrael severely and needed to be addressed. And he said to someone, that I know that the Sitra Achra is not going to let me go on this one. I know that the Yetzirah he's going to get me back for this, because I am combating him on one of his most powerful tools. And he's going to take it out on me, but I am willing to do it anyway. I'm willing to run that risk, because this has to be done. Klal Yisrael needs it. And he actually became sick right after that. And he became sick. He got weaker and weaker. I remember we had a Yarchi Kala. He came to speak, and he was a fraction of what he was. He was speaking. There was like a minute pause between words, and then he became even weaker. And basically, he's been, for the past, I don't know, 10 years, he was out of it. And it was right after that. And it's just also, it's a demonstration of what his life was about. His whole life was a Mesiras Nefesh. I imagine he would have loved to sit and learn. He was a Masmid Atzum. They said by the Levaya that he, when he took the job as a Mashkiach originally in Gateshead, he was told by the stipler to take the job, and he went every year to Eretz Yisrael to ask the stipler, can I stop now and go back to learning in Kailo? And the stipler every year had to tell him, no, you have to continue doing it. His life was a life of giving up his everything for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And it's all these things together that if he would still be around and if he would still be with full strength, you all would have heard him already. He would have been here. He would have given a shmooze here. You would have heard from his shmoozin. People who are your rebbeim would have heard his shmoozin and given it over to you. It was the power and effect he had was humongous. What he would have moved forward with his fight against technology also would have been monumental. And that's a kayach, a force that we've lost with his passing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu have Rachmanis on us to fill that void with someone else who has that kind of capability, who has that strength, who has that ability to make such a difference in so many people's lives, and who can take achrayus for the future of Klal Yisrael, and who can be Meister Nefesh to the level where it can inspire all of us what it means, what we can be, what we can grow to be, and what we can achieve. And he's Zichrei Baruch.